Hello, and welcome to Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, on the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. It's Monday, October 4th. Coming up on today's show, local journalist Bruce Wark speaks with Rachel Farah, who has been working for 4 years to bring her husband, Johnny Saud, from Lebanon to Sackville as a permanent resident of Canada. The long wait has been upsetting for Farah and her two small children, who are wondering when they will be reunited with their father. Also on today's show, we visit the Music Barn, a converted hay barn just off the highway in Upper Sackville that served as a music and event venue for the past 14 years. We'll chat with brand new co-owner Stacey Reed Whittleton about her plans for the Music Barn. That's coming up shortly, but first. Another resident of the Drew Nursing Home has died from COVID-19. A memo sent to family members Sunday evening from Executive Director Linda Shannon says that a total of 6 people have passed away from COVID-19 since the outbreak in the home was discovered on September 13th. Shannon says that 2 more cases were identified in testing that took place on Friday. That's down from the 6 cases identified in the previous round of testing on Tuesday, September 28th. There have been 39 cases in total in the home since September 13th, 29 in residents and 10 in staff members. 10 residents and 5 staff people have recovered from the disease, leaving 13 active cases in residents and 5 active cases in staff. Test results from Friday testing may still be coming in today. Shannon said in a previous memo that results of testing are normally received within 48 to 72 hours. Another round of testing will take place tomorrow. More cases of COVID-19 have been identified at Tantramar Regional High School. Anglophone East School District Acting Superintendent Pamela Wilson wrote to THRS families on Sunday, informing them that public health had confirmed positive cases, but did not specify how many. The letter says the school will switch to distance learning from Monday through Wednesday this week, and that public health will be contacting any close contacts identified through contact tracing. The school district also announced another week of distance learning for the Port Elgin Regional School. A total of 10 schools in the Anglophone East School District have operational days today. There are 45 people in hospital in the province with COVID-19, and 20 of them are in ICUs, the highest number so far in the pandemic. With 140 cases reported Saturday and another 93 reported on Sunday, there are now 759 active cases of COVID-19 in the province. Here in Zone 1, there are 221 active cases, with 62 new cases reported over the weekend. A truck and trailer belonging to Sackville Farmers Market vendor Portage Pork Plus was stolen in the wee hours of Saturday morning. Portage Pork Plus Farm is located just past Chemegway on Route 15. Corporal Brian Villers says the RCMP received the call at about 2 a.m. reporting the theft. The truck and trailer were then located on Route 15, but the drivers fled when officers attempted to stop the vehicle. Villers says a spike belt was used and succeeded in stopping the truck and trailer. The RCMP arrested a 47-year-old and a 20-year-old at the scene, and they remain in custody. A bail hearing for the two men is set for October 5th, and Villers says he expects numerous charges to be laid. A Sackville couple charged with possession for the purpose of trafficking will be back in court on November 12th to enter a plea. Carrie Ann Sears and Colt Dennis LeBlanc appeared via telephone in a Moncton courtroom on Friday and were scheduled to enter their pleas, but the matter was adjourned until November 12th, according to a report by the Times and Transcript. This is the second adjournment for pleas on charges stemming from 2 search and seizure operations on Upper Abijagan Road in April of this year. In early September, LeBlanc's lawyer, Michael Denege, asked for an adjournment to review documents only just released to him by the Crown Attorney, and on Friday, the matter was adjourned because Sears had recently retained counsel and required time to prepare. Though the case against Sears and LeBlanc has yet to be heard in a courtroom, evidence gathered at the 2 April search and seizures has already figured into a civil court action, which saw the couple evicted from their home on Upper Abijagan Road for 3 months. In early June, the court granted an order under the Safer Communities and Neighborhoods Act, which evicted the couple and boarded up their home. A month after it was closed, the home was burned in a suspicious fire, still under investigation by the RCMP. LeBlanc has since pled guilty to assault charges stemming from incidents in January and July. On September 7th, he was released from jail in Shediac on conditions. LeBlanc is not permitted to possess a firearm for 5 years and will be under probation for 18 months. The court also imposed a no-contact order with LeBlanc's partner and co-defendant, Carrie Ann Sears. The town of Sackville meets tonight for its monthly discussion meeting. First up on the agenda is a closed meeting with the local RCMP detachment to hear their monthly report. And then at 7 p.m., the public agenda begins with a presentation on strategic planning and budget assumptions. After that, council will discuss two policy and bylaw items: a bylaw to establish a special business improvement area levy for the town of Sackville, and the town's new recreation subsidy policy, which proposes to subsidize recreation program fees for all Sackville resident youth. Last up on the agenda is the Pride Parade, which was postponed this year to make way for Truth and Reconciliation Week activities at Mount Allison University. Pre-registration is required to attend the meeting in person tonight. To register, you can email Town Clerk Donna Beal before 4 p.m. today. Proof of vaccination and government-issued ID will be required to attend. People can also participate in the meeting via Microsoft Teams. Links will be available on chmafm.com or the Town of Sackville website. A 31-year-old Sackville woman says she can't understand why it's taking so long to get her Lebanese husband into Canada. Rachel Farah has been waiting nearly 4 years for Canadian immigration officials to grant her husband, Johnny Saoud, the permanent resident status that would allow him to join her and their two children in Sackville. An application for permanent resident status normally takes about 12 months, but it appears that a combination of lengthy security checks and delays caused by the COVID-19 pandemic have stretched that one-year process into 4 years of anger, frustration, and sorrow. Rachel Farah says the long wait has been hard on everyone. She suffers from serious medical problems, including a heart condition that sometimes requires treatment in the Amherst Hospital. She says her 3-year-old son Elias can't understand why his father is not around to talk with him, and Johnny Saoud has never seen his youngest son, Musa, who is just 7 months old. Rachel Farah says she worries about her husband's safety amid the political turmoil, sectarian violence, and economic collapse that is currently afflicting Lebanon. She says Johnny was lucky to escape injury or death in the massive explosion that shattered Beirut in August 2020, killing more than 200 people and injuring 7,000. Last week, Rachel Farah talked with Sackville journalist Bruce Wark, who began the interview by asking how she feels about the long delay in bringing her family together.
I'm really upset, nothing more. I need him to be with me, especially with two kids. And he didn't saw his second boy yet. And wish will be faster or can do something to bring him fast. Because it will be 4 years since we applied for him.
How do you feel this has been affecting your health?
Oh, a lot of bad way. For sure, bad way. I have very bad health issues now. Yeah.
And this makes them worse, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Make it a lot of worse. Especially like from getting the babies without him, or being in the hospital doing some treatments without him or without support, staying on the phone all the day. It's really stressful, right? Like, I'm having my kids like I'm single mom, but I'm not.
Now, what does it mean you're a single mother, in effect, but yeah, not really? What does it mean, do you think, for your children not to have their father here them?
That's the thing. Like, I'm married, right? So I have husband. He's in Lebanon. And now my 3 years old, he's getting older. He asks more questions. Like, he's calling his grandfather daddy. So I'm just telling him that he's your grandfather, not your father. So he's calling his father papa and his grandfather daddy. And so even this for him, it's getting him upset, because sometimes I figure out that even at night he woke up, he want to talk with his father, even if it's night there. So we call him and he just want to see him. Even on his iPad, I put FaceTime, and he know which one his father, that's his start with J. And he called him sometimes at night, or anytime. I just find him talking with him, even if he put the cameras without talking. So just he need to see him. He start to figure out that his father not around, and he's just on the phone with him or talking. So that's make him upset, especially when he see him holding his cousins. So my husband's nephew make him very upset. Yeah, that's affecting him also, not just me, because he's not little anymore. 3 years old, he's old enough to know that he need his father around. That's to be family, right?
Now, you're a Canadian citizen. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the government of Canada and its immigration policies? What does this tell you about them?
Like, okay, with me, especially my husband in Lebanon, they're doing great. They're supporting us great in all the ways, you know, for parenting leave, all this stuff. But no, I need my husband with me. That's the thing that I'm asking for. So please, if they can fast it up, because he can be here, he can work more, we can get money more. I'm not just sitting to wait for the government to pay me.
You said that there are some benefits you're getting, like parental leave. What, I didn't ask about those earlier. What are those benefits?
Like they pay for the child benefit monthly and for the mother 1 year from giving birth. So, yeah, they're helping by money, but the money doesn't make everything happen. Just can buy stuff, but not like happiness, you know?
Yeah, and those are benefits that every Canadian woman gets.
Oh, yeah. For every Canadian woman, right.
Yeah, now, we were saying that this has been hard on your health as well. Right. What about your husband? How has he been doing separated from his wife and children?
Oh, a lot of upset. He didn't show like me, but it's very hard on him too. Like even his parents, they told me that even if he didn't show it to me, but everybody there, they can tell that he's not happy.
How old is he? I don't know if I asked.
30 years old.
Okay, yeah, he's 1 year younger.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
right.
Don't tell anybody.
Yes. Now, you were telling me a story. I mean, Lebanon is in chaos right now, and you were telling me a story about a narrow escape your husband had. What happened there?
For the explosion, you mean? Oh, yeah, when the port explosion happened on August 4th, 2020. Yeah, he was just 2 minutes away from the port. He was going to some town, but he has to pass there. He was under the bridge. He was so lucky that he was there because his truck roof got damaged. Because the windows was closed, he got some concussion for a while. Because the explosion did very bad thing in the car. But the other cars around him, they get very damaged. And yeah, we live very, I panicked for sure. Because I was straight, but by the sea. So the explosion was very strong to our house too. It was very bad. We live very bad moments. Thanks God he's still alive. Other people suffer more, but for us it was very bad.
How worried are you about his safety on a daily basis?
1,000,000%, especially now in Lebanon. Like they're killing people for a piece of bread, especially like there's no milk for the kids. Like the fathers, they can kill someone just to get like package of milk for their child. I understand them, but it's not safety at all. No, it's not safety at all. And I won't take my kids there in this situation. No, not at all.
So you've had, I guess, 2 visits and you just can't go back.
No. Yeah, I had more since we get married, like 3 or 4 visits, but with the kid, yeah, it was 2 with my first one. The second one, he didn't go there yet, but no, I won't do it, especially now, this time. No, everything, it's bad there. I can't put their life in risk just to see my husband. For sure, I wish I can see him and be with him, but like my kids, like safety, it's the first. Yeah, I have to think about them first. Like even if they get sick, there's no medication. Even Tylenol to bring like the fever down, there's nothing. Yeah, I won't go, no.
Now, you were telling me that you have taken this up with the local MP, Dominic LeBlanc,
yeah,
who is a great friend of Justin Trudeau's. They mm-hmm. they know each other and have known each other for years.
Yeah, for that, I was wishing to meet him personally.
Yeah.
But doesn't happen. Didn't happen yet.
So if you had either Dominic LeBlanc or his friend Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister, here now, what would you say to them about your situation?
I want my husband with me here. That's it. That's it. I want him in Canada as soon as possible, if that could be happen now.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a good day.
That was Sackville resident Rachel Farah speaking with local journalist Bruce Warg. One footnote to this story, Rachel's husband, Johnny Saoud, works for the Internal Security Forces, Lebanon's National Police and Security Agency. Nicole Druckmann, the Moncton lawyer who is working on their immigration application, says it appears Canadian security checks may be responsible for the long delay in getting approval for Johnny to join his wife and children in Sackville. Many thanks to Bruce Wark for bringing us that story. When a 150-year-old hay barn in Upper Sackville was first converted to its current use back in 2007, the idea was to provide a place for music to be performed. And so the Music Barn was born. The barn soon caught on as a popular place for events and now has a busy wedding and event season from May to October each year. This summer, the Music Barn changed hands. Founders Marlene and Brian Doncaster passed on the torch to a new pair, siblings Jonathan Reed and Stacey Reed Whittleton. I caught up with Stacey Reed last week at the barn to have a look at the beautiful space and ask her a bit about the plans for the Music Barn. Reed is a local musician, music teacher, and co-founder of Levy on the Lake, so it likely comes as no surprise that there will be music in the future of the Music Barn.
This is the main side here. Wow. And I always hear, wow, it's bigger than I thought it was. And it is. It does look big from outside, but when you get inside and you see the expanse of the ceilings and the old wood beams and everything, it kind of reminds you that these barns were made for hay, and they're massive.
So, yeah, and it's got like a balcony area.
It does. The balcony area was constructed, I think, when they started doing live music events in here. Just to, you know, obviously add the extra seating, but it is nice for viewing up there too over the beams that were already in here. It's a really great sight line to the stage. So that that area is very well loved by my children as well, mm-hmm. who like to play up there. Yeah. But and the stage, obviously not original to the barn.
Yeah.
And so when the Doncasters purchased the barn, this was some of the renovations that they did in here. And for the first number of years, it was pretty much all music at the time. Their daughter, Naomi, was a former fiddle student of mine. But she also played bass, and she sings and plays a dozen other instruments, I think, too. And so they kind of started this, I think, as a way to encourage the music to stay in this area, give her a place to perform the bands that she was with. So that was, you know, kind of where the music portion of it came in. And then soon after, people started calling and saying, hey, like, could we use this for this event? Or could we use it for maybe a wedding or a family gathering or, you know, whatever it happened to be. And it just started to really take off from there. So,
mm-hmm. So I mean, when did you officially become an owner of this place?
We purchased it. I was working on the levy this summer, and the levy started on Thursday, and we signed the deals on the Wednesday. So it was a pretty busy week. Okay. But August the 16th or 17th, I think, was our final signing date. So we haven't had it for that long. My brother and I purchased it, and he actually got married here like 7 years ago. So we were just saying, well, they liked it so much, they decided they really wanted to buy it. But
now you're Sackville musician. Do you have history here?
I obviously have performed here a number of times. I was very fortunate over the years to have Brian generously give the barn on Sunday afternoons to my end of year student concerts for a number of years, which was amazing. Because obviously, like, the stage is great. There's lots of seating for friends and families and parents. There's the backstage area where the kids can put all their fiddles. So it was really lovely to have a venue like this. And it feels true to the style of music that I'm teaching as well. Like, old time fiddle feels right in a barn. And so we did that for a number of years. But based on the fact that there is no heat in the barn, my end of the year concerts were getting earlier because people are getting busier, and it's quite chilly in here the first week or second week of May. And so we ended up having to move to another location, but that's something that we're hoping to be able to fix a little bit, given that my brother is in the heating business. We're hoping that maybe we can get a little bit of heat in here and just extend our seasons a little bit into the fringe season of end of April, first of May, into a little bit later into October and not be so chilly.
All right. So, yeah, you have some like renovations or improvements on the the agenda.
Yeah, we're working on a few things. Obviously, we'd like to beef up the kitchen area a little bit and just make it a little bit more user-friendly for people who are coming in. Obviously, for the live music portion of it, the sound equipment, and having something that we could put in here very easily should we have an artist coming in, that would be really, I think, good, as opposed to having to do the whole rental thing or whatever. Like, we're trying to do something that we're building succession with, and to have everything here makes it much more... It's an easily accessible venue for people who are coming through and don't have to think too much about what they may or may not need in the venue. So we're trying to have those things at hand at least. And then a few adjustments, cosmetic here and there, a few things to increase our capacities yet again, which we're excited about. We've heard a lot about having the large venue and the large space is definitely good for COVID right now, so that even if we have to go down to a 50% capacity at any point, we still have a lot of space, especially for those people who are doing weddings or whatnot. So we're just trying to make all of those things, you know, kind of on the agenda, I guess, for the next little while, so that when we start our season again in 2022, we have everything taken care of.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, the season, it is, even today, it's a little chilly in
it's
here.
Chilly.
So yeah, the season is wound down for this year.
We have two more weddings left. So okay. That'll, you know, what we also have the people who are coming are well aware of the fact that it's a little chillier in here, and they've probably made some accommodations for that. But yeah, we're done at the end of October this year, and that'll give us a good number of months to really make sure that the things that we want to focus on for 2022 are able to be done in an appropriate timeline, and we can kind of start fresh.
And you mentioned sort of investing in some equipment, like a back line, to just sort of be ready for musicians coming in. So obviously that's still going to be a priority for you and your brother.
Yeah, I mean, given that there's been a lot of weddings here over the years, there's not been as much music just because the weddings typically are in here for the full weekend. But I would like to go back to doing some Sunday afternoon stuff. I'd like to take a few weekends throughout the year and do some live music, have stuff during the weekdays. Like, there's lots of potential in here to keep doing both weddings and live events. And obviously, as a musician myself, it's really important to me that there is music here and that there is a place for artists who are traveling through, and that even if they're not, we're in a position where we can bring those artists to the people of Sackville and have a beautiful venue for them to perform in.
Do you think the Music Barn has a genre that you mostly, I mean, you mentioned you're an old-time fiddle teacher.
Yeah.
So, and it suits the space. It just feels right. I mean, will you expand the types of music you end up seeing in here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a genre that's taboo in the barn. I did say to someone, I'm not sure I'll have a heavy metal band in here anytime soon. I'm not sure if it fits the space. But I know, like, primarily throughout the years, it's been bluegrass, country, you know, all kind of manners of folk music, I guess. But, you know, we've had a couple of requests already for, you know, jazz and light rock and things like that. And we're certainly not opposed, you know, to other genres being in here as well. I just think for the space, we're going to get a lot more requests from the country bluegrass vein of things and the old time kind of style. And that's okay with us. I'm not sure I'll have drums in here as backline, but I'll certainly make sure that the sound equipment, when it needs to be in here, is, you know, good stuff.
All right. Awesome. Well, yeah. Stacey, is there anything else you want to say about this new venture you're on?
No, I guess I just thank you to the community. Like, everyone has been super supportive of the change. I mean, obviously the former owners had been here for 13 years plus, and I think they certainly had a hard time saying goodbye to something that they had seen so much success with and that they had really poured their heart and soul into over the years. So we're very excited as a family to be able to kind of take over that and continue the legacy of the barn, make some small changes along the way that hopefully continue to, you know, to grow the venue as it is. But everyone in town has been very supportive and welcoming of us and the new venture that we're on. So we do appreciate that and hope that people come out and see us and have their events out here, and we continue to be part of the Sackville landscape.
Thanks so much, Stacey.
Thank you very much, Erica.
That was Stacey Reed, new owner of the Music Barn, speaking with me last week. Before we leave you today, a reminder, this week is Fall Cleanup Week in the Sackville area. Large items can be placed curbside for pickup by Miller Waste or by neighbors on the hunt for a good score. That's it for CHMA's Tantramar Report for this Monday, October 4th. As always, we hope you will get in touch with your comments or questions at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.